Long drive, right field, see
that's
you
decent.
Later.
Rich, you're going to have to get closer than that.
And that is really inconvenient because we actually are watching sumo wrestling, and the eruption of a baseball game was rather unexpected.
Hey everyone, welcome to Catholic Bites. We're going to nerd out a little bit about a topic today, which is what we've been doing in this little experiment with the new Catholic Bites. And today I have two guests with me. I have Father Rich Miserandino and Father Joe Rampino from the Diocese of Arlington, which it's a big deal that they've crossed the Great Potomac River to come join me today. And the thing that brings them together, besides the fact that they're both mega nerds, is the fact that they're both also very, very talented musicians. And so we thought we'd talk about music a little bit today. And we're going to start not necessarily in the place you'd expect a Catholic podcast to start. We're going to start with modern secular music, right? So what is it that you guys are really into, and what is it about modern secular music that appeals to you, that is something that is worth talking about for a while?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's just a ton of really incredibly inventive stuff going on right now. Just to start, what to listen to or what are we listening to now? I'm listening to a guy, Jacob Collier, who's kind of a jazz pianist, and not really that. He's a multi-instrumentalist and a total theory nerd and creates just absurdly, absurdly, absurdly beautiful and technical music. So you have people like him. I'm listening to a lot of guitar music because that's what I play, along with singing. I play guitar, and bands.
You play singing.
I play singing. I actually reach down my throat and manipulate my vocal cords like a small guitar. In addition,
it's a variety act.
I sell out large auditoriums every other night because you have to have a rest day with that. But So one of the other bands that I'm listening to is a band called Intervals that does incredibly inventive guitar music. There are people like Sarah Longfield, Tosin Abasi, and Animals as Leaders.
Such a loser. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's just really spectacular music and incredibly, incredibly, incredibly inventive. So that's what I'm listening to right now.
So why are we talking about this? What's up? What's going on?
Well, I think one of the reasons why we're talking about this is because there's a lot in modern music as well that can tell us deeper things about what we believe as Catholics. This is Father Rich speaking, by the way. Just so those of you who can't see this room. There's a lot of interesting things. Now, Father Joe has a very refined musical taste. And actually, Jacob Collier, I found out about through him, and he is incredible. You should check him out. It's very complicated and very beautiful music. It's dazzling. It's very accessible, but it's dazzling. I have a bit less refined taste. Right now, one of the things that I just went to go see about a month ago was the I guess it's a musical, you could call it, the one on the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey. What is it?
There's a musical about the Ringling
Brothers.
And
I'm blanking on the movie name. See, this is what happens when you put a microphone in front of me. Yeah, Greatest Show on Earth, Greatest Showman. P.T. Barnum, it's his biopic, Greatest Showman. And it's actually, biopic? I don't know. But so basically, the gist of the movie is about his sort of rise to fame as the circus star, but it's done with Hugh Jackman as sort of the singing lead, which I didn't even realize he was kind of a Broadway singer before he got into acting.
I saw him in Oklahoma. That was one of the things. He's really, really talented.
Yeah, it's kind of trippy. But the soundtrack from that, I was actually just listening to it last night. And it's definitely, kind of popish, whatever music. But it struck me as the sort of pining that was behind that. There's like a theme, an undertone to all of the song, like striving for a sense of self that transcends just sort of like the modern day. Mm. An originality, a vibrancy that's just not felt like in the world. And as I sat there and I listened to all those songs, I was like, you know what? These are all like one step removed from kind of like praise and worship type songs. They're totally within the context of the movie. Like it totally flies the flag for like a lot of the things that are the big issues for our day, like people, wanting to sort of define themselves and be who they are, and a lot of like the hot political topics of the day, and that you normally wouldn't associate with Catholic theology. But really ultimately what sort of struck me was a lot of these songs were about sort of what the human heart's pining for, and ultimately like the satisfaction that we find in God. And it's kind of neat that somebody from a completely secular perspective sitting down on the keyboard writing music for this awesome this movie that's completely about, it's about people joining the circus, you know, the bearded lady or this guy who's really tall or this guy who's really short, and you know, this guy gets shot out of a cannon and all of that type of stuff. Writing songs for that, and like about these people wanting to be loved and about these people wanting to sort of find a place in this world, find the meaning of their life, and then listening to the songs independent of the movie and realizing, like these could actually work for like vocational promo type things. That's like you really hear that hunger of the human heart and ultimately for what only God can satisfy. So
what is it about music that enables, in particular, that enables us to encounter something deeper, something more transcendent?
Well, for one, the fact that you're going about creating this in a different manner, right? The whole kind of classic definition of why use music when you could just speak something, right? This is something we've experienced in the liturgy. We very clearly prejudice sung liturgy over just spoken liturgy. And whenever we have something more solemn we have to sing, you know, St. Augustine talks about the beauty of kind of wordless, jubilant singing of like people in a field. This is what he's talking about, the beauty of liturgical singing. And this is what happens when we have things to express that are either too powerful for us to capture in words, things that if we were to speak them, we would just break down, or things that cannot be expressed in words. We have this other method that God has given us to actually speak. And this is one of the things where I find a huge crossover between kind of modern music and the sacred is in the fact that now people who are making music are beginning to make it in a more human sort of way. This is, to give you an example, the neo-soul movement is kind of a thing now in jazz, and all of the rhythms are really, really wonky. You don't have like a, you know, just a one, two, three, four sort of thing. You have a lot of really like rolling egg sort of rhythms and very human breathing sort of things going on that almost remind me, whenever I hear them, of the two and three pulses of Gregorian chant, or of the more organic pulses of Eastern chant. And this is just something of, this is what the human heart looks like when it finally opens up, breathes, and sings, not just kind of barred into a 4-4 meter or something like this, something very staid. But as modern music comes around to something that's a little further outside of what had previously been the set of constructs it used, we come around to something that's much more like a Gregorian chant. But the whole point of talking about any of the nerdy rhythm things is that this is part of just a natural human expression. It's another form of speech. It's another form of speech, and all speech is related not only to truth, or rather not only to beauty, but also to truth. And so when we speak the truths that would normally break us, that are too powerful for us to express without, you know, some kind of deformation of the language, we have to have another way to speak. And music is the other way of speaking.
And it speaks to the fact that there's something, there are transcendent, common, universal questions at the heart of right. every person, and that you need some way to express that or answer those questions or pursue in some way this deeper aspect of your personality in your life. And we God is the one reason that's there, and we are blessed in our church to know that that's the reason. And they're grasping out in the secular world, looking for that, and are coming pretty close to, it sounds like, to what we've discovered.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the beautiful thing about music is it allows us to sort of drop our guard and let sort of the masks that we all have, you know, you hear about like imposter syndrome and things like that. You know, we all sort of put on these facades, and music in a certain way, because it speaks to those deep realities, because it draws us in that deep way that Father Joe is talking about, it allows us to sort of step outside of ourselves and kind of really say what's on our heart and really on our mind, which we don't get to do a lot in our world. Like if you try to go deep with somebody just in like real conversation and say, hey, so like, what do you think this is all about? They'll be like, right. So what did you watch for TV? You know, it's like it suddenly degenerates very quickly. Like, I want to find someplace to hide right now. But music, like you can even see it, like if you go to a school or something like that and you go to music class in the school, you can immediately talk about very deep and very like palpably very pregnant questions that everybody sort of wants answers to. And it becomes a medium that those questions can sort of live in and sort of be discussed in a beautiful and artful way. And it can redeem, you know, I guess Dostoevsky is credited for saying, like, beauty will save the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's a very beautiful statement in itself, but also a very dangerous statement. It can be taken in multiple ways. But in a certain sense, it's true. Like, the redemptive power of the truly beautiful, like the truly goodly beautiful rooted in God, can open things so that it can be healing for people. It can give them a voice. To go on another nerdy tangent. So it's not an accident.
That's what this is all about.
it's not an accident that for like Tolkien, for example, in the Silmarillion and his creation narrative. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We just lapsed into the Silmarillion. That's like. You know.
Push the glasses up.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, we already did. Father Chris Scythe and I already did a podcast about the Silmarillion.
So okay. There you go. All right. Yeah. There we go. We've gone down that road. Okay. The God figure in that sings the universe into being, and it's harmonized. And I think he's onto something there. There's really something about like the beauty of music that is a more vivid reality than a spoken. It's an elevated spoken word, a graced spoken word that shows how, like, if you want to take it that way, it's sort of like grace, we believe, perfects nature. And it sort of lifts it up to be something that it couldn't be on its own. And like music, in a certain sense, lifts up our words and our capacity when it, you know, does touch them. You can have music without words. You can have grace without nature. But like you can, but it lifts them up to be something greater than they are. And it gives us this possibility to really say what we want. And it turns out that oftentimes, like in the P.T. Barnum Greatest Showman recording, what they want is really love and only a love that God can give.
So when we talked about recording this episode, you guys mentioned that one of the amazing things about the secular music out there is that it's so much time and thought and attention is put to it to express these deeper truths.
Incredible care.
And it seems like in our maybe our liturgical context, not that I want to rip on anyone or anything or get into this too much right now because we've only got a little bit amount of time, but we don't necessarily put as much care or thought into what we do. It's just,
right.
Oh, what sounds good to me? What do I like most right now?
Well, one of the things, because there are a lot of ways you could take a conclusion from this observation that sometimes we in the Catholic Church don't take great care with our liturgical music. One of the conclusions could be, well, we need to, you know, get polyphony choirs everywhere. And that's not what really is the solution. So I do an experiment with, like a teaching experiment in the school we have at the parish, where I'll go into the music class, and we'll talk about liturgical music, and I'll give the kids examples of things. I'll do the standard, a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Hebrews, brothers and sisters, and watches their eyes all glaze over and they fall asleep. And then all you have to do is just sit and wait for a moment of silence and replace that with instead, a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Hebrews. And all of a sudden, dead silence, pure focus. And it's not complex music. It's not, the care there is the care of saying, I have something worthwhile to say to you. I have something worthwhile to say to you, and I'm gonna give my full attention to it. I'm gonna give my full devotion to it. And that can't be feigned. If we can do that, even with simple music, and I have my opinions as to what music would work best for that. But really the fact is, do you believe, do you love your subject, and can you convey that?
Yeah, is it authentically expressing those deep questions, those deep encounters with the Lord and the human heart that we've been talking about, and that can help lead to, that can be the measure by which we judge our liturgical music.
And I would say, yeah, you absolutely just touched on a different thing. There's sincerity. Is a not just like seriousness, but sincerity, and the sincerity that like C.S. Lewis talks about, like to really play, you kind of have to give yourself over. Like the best games of Monopoly, for instance, or like although I hate Monopoly, but like it is a horrible game. The best games of Risk or Monopoly or dare I say, what was the one that we played? Diplomacy, which everybody ends up hating each other. but like the best games of that are when people take it seriously. Like you give yourself over to the game and you actually try and win. And sure, the liturgy isn't a game. The liturgy isn't a show, but there's points of commonality where if you do something sort of half-hearted, you're lacking the sincerity, and therefore people sort of see it as like a game or as a show of some sort. And I think really the beautiful thing about like modern music is they also teach us of the artistry, the level of like giving yourself over to craft that is necessary to really make something beautiful and really shine forth with that honesty that people also want in their hearts.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Father Rich. Father Joe, it's a great joy to have you with us on the Catholic Bites podcast. If you would like to listen to more Catholic Bites podcasts, you can check us out online at catholicbitespodcast.com. There's a donate tab there if you like what we're doing and you want to help us out. And we'll catch you next time on Catholic Bites. Take care and God bless.